wishes to you all and our staff at Exmouth Town Council. Following our last meeting, we as a council have been busy maintaining the community spirit of the town. And we've done this by attending the annual Christmas Day swim, which must have seen a record attendance. And Councillor Steve Gazzard got his wet feet wet. Good effort there. Also, a few of us were out serving Christmas lunch to those in need at the Open Door and a number of local care / residential homes. And we attended and started and congratulated those who supported the annual Rotary Fun Run, which had such a great atmosphere on Boxing Day. Congratulations to Steve Gazzard, who enrolled his 6,000th organ donor. So a round of applause there, please. And finally, for Lisa, who organised, coordinated and gave up New Year's Eve to ensure that the residents and visitors to Exmouth enjoyed the New Year fireworks celebrations. Thank you very much. This year, local elections will take place in May, which is going to cause quite a few changes, I would imagine. But after the short break, we as a council must endeavour to continue and serve our town and local communities as we did when we went on recess back in December. So to that end, before we start the meeting properly, I wish to remind all attending that the meeting is being recorded. Therefore, my request that all be aware that any comment is to go through the chair and not directed to individuals. When items are to be debated, I again request all comments are through the chair. If a comment or the same answer to a question has been addressed, I wish to request that it not be repeated. Thank you. Lost my minutes. So, apologies, please.
I've only got Councillor Terry Darville. Anybody else?
Oh, Councillor Christine Channel.
Okay.
Pauline Garber, Ryan Toy, and Claire Grant.
Is there anybody from the members of the public wishing to speak? Did you have?
No.
No? Okay. Council minutes of the last meeting. To confirm and sign as a correct record the minutes of the meeting of the Town Council held on Monday, 17th of December, which has been circulated. Agreed and seconded. Okay, thank you.
Maggie and somebody. I think Steve seconded it.
All those in favour, please show. Those against, if any. Super, thank you, there's signed. Any matters arising from those minutes? Tim, please.
Yeah, just to ask, I mean, there's an item on there about John and storage of the big table, and I noticed there was quite a lot of email correspondence on the council's email about that. I wondered where we were with that.
Thank you very much. That is an East Devon District Council matter, but I will let Lisa have a quick say on this.
I understand there's a meeting tomorrow to discuss what's going to happen with it. I do know, however, that the legs don't come off it, so I don't know if that changes the position in terms of storage options, because apparently the legs won't come off it, they have to be sawn off it. So, but there's a meeting tomorrow, apparently.
Thank you. Does that answer your question?
Well, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman, may I just come on to that point? I know nothing about this meeting.
No, I think it's with the chairman of the district council, Councillor Phil Skinner, yeah. And possibly Ian Thomas. I'm not sure, but there's several people at East Devon anyway that are involved tomorrow, I understand.
So, like I say, that's at East Devon District Council, and we'll get back to you with an answer at the end of the week. Okay, fine. Thank you. Anything else? Declaration of pecuniary interest and dispensations. I'll put my teeth back in again. Members to declare any interest that they may have on the agenda and agree any dispensations to stay. I have an interest with regards to, I do believe, Age Concern through Devon County Council, that's all. Lynn?
I need to declare an interest in Age Concern as clients of hospice care, also clients of Age Concern.
Brian?
Thank you, Chair. I'm a member of the Neighbourhood Plan Committee. I don't know if that's relevant, but we're having a discussion. It's not fair enough. We'll be on the safe side, thank you.
We won't be having a discussion, that we'll be going through.
It's a cat is council business anyway, so it's yeah. Fine. You don't need to declare any interest in council business.
Anybody else? Okay. Right, so therefore it leads me to welcome Jill Smith, Chief Officer of Age Concern Exmouth in District, to give a short presentation. So Jill, welcome to our meeting. Over to you.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's very kind of you to let me come along and talk to you all this evening. It's nice to have a lot of people in one room and have a good hit of people. First thing I'm going to say is I'm not here after money. Essentially, I just really wanted to come along and talk to you all about Age Concern and how we have grown over the last couple of years since we moved into our new premises at number 1 Royal Street. Some of you may be familiar with us. I don't know if you are. Maybe some of you are ex-trustees. Not that you've met. So really, I just wanted to come along this evening and tell you what we do at Age Concern in the hope that I can get your support and backing when I do go for funding applications and when I am wanting to sort of promote and move things on with Age Concern. So, for those of you that don't know what we do, we have a wellbeing centre at number 1 Royal Street. It was the old air ambulance shop. We took it over in October 2016, did quite a major refurb, put 3 offices in, and we currently have a nice big space at the front where we do lots of different activities. So, it's inclusive of all, adaptable to needs, and free of charge, most importantly. A safe environment, friendly, and offering a wealth of activities and facilities. So, for example, we have seated gentle yoga 3 times a week. We started with 1 session, it was so busy. We went to 2 sessions. We're currently on 3 sessions, and we are actually looking at doing even more. What I would say about the seated gentle yoga is that it does make a real impact and a real difference to the people that do it. We've seen people come in who can barely walk, who can touch their toes now. So it's a great activity. We have Scrabble, we have whist drives, we have Goldie's UK sing-along come fortnightly and literally lift the roof off. If you've walked past number 1 this afternoon, you would have heard them singing their hearts out. It's just absolutely lovely. We have Friendship Friday coffee mornings. So lots of lovely activities going on for our older community to drop in whenever they want to. We then have the information advice and advocacy service. So we still have our big stock of leaflets to signpost people to. We do benefits checks, complete AA forms, pension credit applications, blue badge applications, alert card applications, carers allowance applications. We do utility switches for people. Older people generally don't tend to be too computer literate or too computer friendly. And if you want to switch your utility nowadays, we all know you have to go onto your website and go into one of these comparison websites. So we offer that as a service free of charge for people to come in if they want to, and we'll switch their utilities for them. and, as I said before, signposting. We are finding a lot now that we are able to get people pension credit, get people the attendance allowance. That's one that I do really like to sing about, because I don't think people realise that they're entitled to it. It's a non-means-tested benefit. And a lot of older people don't want to they don't want to apply for anything because they're a bit scared that you might want to know all about what they've got and what they've got in the bank, and they don't really want to tell you. The attendance allowance is non-means-tested. Nobody is interested in what you've got in the bank or what savings you've got. So if you know somebody who is of pensionable age, who has got a long-term health condition for which they are medicated and they've had it for more than 6 months, please send them our way and we will help them to get that benefit. And it's £55 and a few pennies a week at the lower rate and £83 a week at the higher rate. So it can make a real difference to people and their living, their standard of living. So we do a lot of AA and we're doing a lot of new badge applications. The next piece of work that we're doing, which we're spending quite a lot of money on at the moment, is carer breakdown and crisis support. We see up to 1,000 people a week at Age Concern Exmouth. We have 1,000 contacts a week, whether that's people walking in just to get their hearing aid batteries, or telephoning us to ask us a question, or we're going into their home to do some cleaning for them or some social care. But you know, we do see generally around 1,000 people a week, so it's a lot of contact. One piece of work that we're doing a lot of is carer breakdown. So somebody's been looking after somebody for a long period of time and they reach a point where they think, I just can't do this anymore. And they come to us, and at that point, we will then support them to, it might well be that we have to feed them straight into the social care system because that's the way that they need to go. What we try to do, if we can avoid that, is keep them away from the GP practice, keep them away from the ambulance, keep them out of hospital, because we all know hospital is quite a dangerous place, really. You only really want to go there if you need to. So the people come to us and we will sit with them and say, right, can we get your attendance allowance? Can we get your pension credit? Can we set up some support for you that's going to stop you ending up in the back of that ambulance, that's going to stop you end up being that revolving door patient at the GP practice? And we've had a lot of success around that. And at the moment, I am employing somebody to do that piece of work, and I'm hoping that we'll get some funding to be able to carry on doing that. We work with lots of partners. We work with the Royal Devon and Exeter Stroke Team and the occupational therapists. We work with our local community hospital, hospital discharge, all of the GP practices. We work with Devon Carers, the Alzheimer's Society, and I'm actually a champion for the Alzheimer's Society, and every member of my team is a dementia friend, and I go to schools and colleges. I've been to the community college quite a number of times delivering that training, and I'm always happy to deliver it to anybody that wishes to have it. It's a brilliant session. It's 45 minutes to an hour and it's very enlightening, and I think it's really important that we do know that we're living in a dementia crisis. And we're all talking about a big D nowadays, not the big C anymore. So it's really, really important that people understand it. I'm currently working with the University of Exeter Dementia Prevention Study. Sorry, can't get my words out tonight. We are working together on a project to try and eliminate some people from getting Alzheimer's, because actually Alzheimer's, it is preventable, but you have to understand how to prevent it. So again, I'm currently working with the University of Exeter around that. I'm also involved in the Big Room Conversation, which is talking about dementia and delirium, and that's in association with the DPT. And that again is about that carer breakdown work. It's about keeping people out of hospital. So it's taking a step back and stopping people from ending up in hospital in the first place. We work with Peach Dragons. Two of my colleagues have been through the Peach Dragons training. One of them is a voluntary support officer and the other one is a volunteer. And again, you know, older people can sometimes feel quite desperate. So it's good that we've got somebody within our environment that's able to offer that piece of support. We run a dementia carer support group in Exmouth on the second Tuesday of every month at the Imperial Hotel, and we currently have about 45 regular carers on our books. we organise a speaker for them and we give them an afternoon off, basically. They can come and talk about anything other than caring for somebody, or if they really want to, they can talk about caring for somebody, but it's an opportunity for them to have a bit of me time. We do nice things with them as well, take them out for nice trips and give them a bit of a break, really. We had a lovely Christmas lunch at the Manor Hotel. Actually, really proud to say that our carers donated their Christmas presents this year to Devon or Exmouth Young Carers, which I thought was lovely. We do lots of charity fundraising. We've had two or three really successful band nights over at the Railway Club. They're great supporters of ours. Natalie's fantastic. Lets us have the facility free of charge, and we've had some really good bands, Southern Road, Shelley Beach Boys, to name a couple, who've come along and offered their services free of charge, and you know that helps us with our fundraising. We also have a home support service, because obviously we've got quite a nice building down at number one, and that takes quite a lot of maintaining, and it takes quite a lot of money to keep it up and running. And you probably know that there isn't a huge amount of funding out there anymore, so we have to think on our feet and basically earn our own money. We have to earn our own money to keep going. So we do run a really good home support service. I don't know, I think, did you say that maybe you use our facility?
Yeah,
doctors, care
patients
circle. Yeah, it is a really good service. It's very reasonably priced, and that's why Social Care use us, because we don't charge the earth. We make £5.62 an hour. You need quite a lot of £5.62s to keep number one Royal Street up and running. So we have a good home support service. I started the service myself 4 years ago. Well, I kind of took over a very naive service where we were doing about 20 hours a week of care. And we had a couple of ladies doing it. At our peak this year, we were doing 600 hours a week. And we currently employ 55 paid employees and 25 volunteers. So we're actually quite a good employer in Exmouth as well. We are, you know, going back into the economy as well, because we are giving people money in their pockets. So that's it, really, in a nutshell. I mean, we do a lot more than that. But I don't know if anybody's got anything they want to ask me, any questions.
Is that you finished for your presentation?
For a minute, yeah. I mean, the only other thing I was going to say is that you will all be very welcome to come down, see what we do. We're there Monday to Thursday from 10 till 3, Friday 10 till 1. Come in, have a cup of tea, have a chat, see what we do. We would love to see you.
Okay, I'm going to open up the floor. Thank you for that. I'm going to have Lynn, Steve, Rob and John, and then after that. So, Lynn, did you want to say anything?
No, what I was going to say is that I think a lot of the work that Age Concern do is unrecognised. I mean, we have people from, we do use Age Concern, certainly for the AA, for our clients to get attendance allowance, because a lot of older people are far too proud to ask, actually, far too independent, they don't understand, and it's they're very supportive in that way, and also obviously you've got neighbours with some of ours, yeah, certain dementia ones. So really I would just say, you know, thank you for what you are doing, and perhaps somehow we can get that out into the public domain a lot more, because I don't think people have still got this fixation of the old type of Age Concern where you're just sitting there and doing the odd bits and pieces, but it's far wider than that, and I don't think perhaps that is recognised by a lot of the community, which perhaps could give you more support. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lynn. Steve?
Thank you, Chair. Could you tell me, do you still do your traders' bulletin for people that are looking for a...
Yes. No, well, we actually use the trading standards one now. I wasn't really that keen on having a local... Not that I don't want to use local trade... Oh, sorry. Not that I don't want to use local tradespeople, of course I do, but I just felt that to give out people's names willy-nilly without actually having any solid basis for doing it. So we tend to give out the trading standards booklet, but it does have all the local trading standards affiliated services in it. So in that sense, we do, yeah.
Okay.
Rob?
Yeah, Absolutely. Thanks, Jeff. Yes, thank you very much for your presentation. That was, I can't believe how unaware I was. It was a fantastic service you're delivering. And I'm sure we'll be sending some people your way.
Thank you.
John.
Mr. Chair, it's a question actually. Are you still independent or do you belong to the full body of the
We are completely, sorry. No, we are a local independent charity. About 10 years ago, right now I believe it was, there was Help the Aged and Age Concern.
That's right.
They joined forces and became Age UK, and Age UK sort of developed this big old book of rules and regulations, what you can do, what you can't do. We were made independent and we have remained independent to this day.
Thank you very much. Is there anybody else? I'm sorry, Christine.
Yeah, just a quick question, if I may. You said you may be in a position where you're applying for funding in the future, mm-hmm. and I wondered if you've got any inkling as to what is that for? Where is the need that you think you may need to apply for funding in future, yeah. and what sort of scale of funding are we talking about?
Yeah, I think the biggest need that I've got at the moment, and the funding that I'm trying to secure at the moment, is to keep this person in place so that when you come in crisis, and the thing is that people, it's not a decision you make lightly, it's often a snap decision. I'll give you a scenario. About this time last year, one of our regular clients, he's a gentleman in his 90s, his wife in her 90s, and he was her main carer. And he came into our office and absolutely broke down. So we took his wife off one way, made her a cup of tea, took him into the office, blew his nose, wiped his eyes, gave him a cup of tea, and that morning she had dressed and undressed herself 3 times and then wet herself all over the floor. And he just went, I can't do this anymore. And he wanted to do it. He really, really wanted to do it. He felt desperate that he couldn't do it anymore, but it was a snap decision. It wasn't something that he thought about over a long period of time, thought, oh, well, I've got a bit of time. Do you know what I mean? It just happened. I can't do this anymore. So having Debbie there in the office so that when these people walk in, and he's just the tip of the iceberg. It's all very well said, there's a card for Devon Carers, there's a card for Care Direct, go and phone these people, and then you'll get a telephone call, but you probably won't get an appointment for about a month, and you might have to wait 6 to 12 weeks for that one. Or we take them in the office and we sit them down and say, right, how can we help you make this better in the immediate now? And that might be that they say, well, I just need some support. Fine, we can get you support, that's fine. We've got 55 people out there doing support. If they can't afford that support, right, let's get you the attendance allowance, let's get you pension credit, let's get you the money. So we're not solving everyone's problems, but having somebody there that can deal with that immediate crisis, that's what I'm really, at this moment in time, that's what I'm passionate about keeping in place. And at the moment, I am paying for it. I said at our peak we were doing about 600 hours a week. We've now dropped off to about 420 because we had one very big client who sadly has gone into a care home. So we have lost some income. So I have to just, you know, I'm not a businesswoman. I am, but I'm not. I run it in a business-like way, but it is a charity. And yeah.
Thank you.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah. Thank you. Final one, Richard. Thank you.
Okay. I think we'd all welcome the work that you and others do in the larger sector, and it's quite apparent with the investigation work that we're doing through the Health Scrutiny Committee at Devon County Council how important the non-statutory sector is in terms of delivering healthcare. And I think one of the issues that most people I don't realise or ignore is the problem of social isolation, and therefore the impact it has on your health, because you neither get out or you don't see people, and that's a mental and a physical aspect. So they don't both go at the same pace, one might go quicker than the other. You also did submit a funding application to us, which we considered in December, which has come back to you for further consideration, so I'd be interested in talking to you about what's changed.
Yeah.
And maybe we can accept that application.
Okay, lovely, thank you. Can I just talk to you very quickly about social isolation? And that's another piece of work that we're doing. The thing with social isolation is the people that come into our centre aren't socially isolated. They're the easy targets. So I I came up with a couple of good ideas. I teamed up with Lloyd's Chemist, and they have given me permission to put a flyer into every prescription that they send out, which it's just going to be very simple. If you need help or support, we are here, and our telephone number. So, because it might just be that the one day that they open that prescription bag might be the day that they think, I can be brave today and I can make that telephone call. The other thing that we do is that we go around, you know, we've got lots of Drake Court and Bronte Court and Roswell Court, and we've got, you know, social care housing and care homes, and we go to all of these places and say, can we come to your coffee morning and talk about what we do? Now that's brilliant, because the people at the coffee morning again aren't socially isolated, but we always finish, or generally finish, by saying, you're here today and it's been lovely to meet you, but we know that there's people in this building that haven't been brave enough to open the door and come down today. We would ask you just to knock on their door, just knock on your neighbour's door and tell them about what we do at Age Concern. Or if they don't open the door, just slip one of our notes under the door, because again, they're the people that we want to target, the ones behind those closed doors that aren't brave enough to open them. So I get that. That's a massive piece of work.
Just to come back on that as well, it's wider as well. It's about social responsibility.
Yeah.
And it's about us all knocking on someone's door.
Exactly.
So we know we've got a vulnerable neighbour.
Yeah.
And we know, and that's equally young people.
Yeah.
Just taking a concern about those that live around you, and even if it's just knocking on the door, say, how are you today?
Yeah.
That means a lot to some people.
It does.
Thank you very much. Quick one, Pauline.
Right, just a quick one. The social housing is done, and it might be a good idea, I'll ask the tenants if you could come to their conference.
Lovely.
And give a little spiel, because there's so many people that go, 100 people go to the conference, and it might be a good idea. It's not just an eczema fair, it would be around
and that's absolutely fine. I mean, we are Age Concern Exmouth and District.
Yeah.
So we cover quite a wide area, really. I mean, we cover primarily the Wether locality, which is Woodwood, Exmouth and Budleigh. But, you know, I would not go to somebody in Sidmouth or Seaton or Axminster if they needed the support. I mean, we actually did do an AA form for a lady in Wellington. It's a long story, I'm not going to go into it now, but she just couldn't get anybody in Wellington to do it. And I was like, well, we can meet halfway if you like and do it for you. So it was important to her, she needed it, and she couldn't get the support she needed, so.
Super.
Thank you.
Well, Jill, on behalf of the Town Council, I thank you very much for your presentation.
Thank you.
You've shown your passion and your enthusiasm for the services that your staff and volunteers are doing. And again, on behalf of everybody here, thank you and your staff the service you are giving.
Yeah. And we would always welcome, I think we used to have a trustee, a volunteer from the Town Council, and do you know what, we would absolutely love that again. You know, our meetings are monthly at the moment, but we would welcome anybody that, you know, wanted to maybe think about becoming a trustee and have a chat. Because we, you know, we do really good things, and I think, you know, it's a good charity.
I will pop in within the next week.
Lovely.
And on top of that, when the new council was elected in May, then perhaps through the town clerk.
We'll add it to our list of outside bodies.
Thank you very much. Hope you took all that in, Daniel. Thank you very much. Right, move on to item 6, to receive and consider reports and minutes of committees, working parties, other local bodies, the Town Clerk, Deputy Clerk, as appropriate. Planning Committee, please. Lynn.
Move the minutes of the meeting held on the 10th of December 2018 and any recommendations therein. I do move.
Have a seconder, please.
Second.
Fred. Those in favour, please show. Those against, if any. Carrie. Town clerk's report, please.
Okay, so my report was quite brief this month because of the timing of the December council meeting. I think it's self-explanatory. The main thing that I was reporting on was my attendance at the One Public Estate workshop. Has anybody got any questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Chapman, please.
Likewise, not a huge amount to report. I just wanted to add something on top of what I've said about the community fund, just to give you a bit further update. We have actually received a total of 11 applications. So we're going to be checking those for eligibility and then contacting them. I hope my explanation of what's going to happen next was clear, but if you do have any questions, just ask. That.
Okay, thank you. Is this one?
Yeah.
NPSG notes for the meeting.
So they're just for receiving, but there is a separate agenda item which I think we will ask Roy to say a few words about on agenda item 8. But the NPSG meeting notes are just for noting.
Right, so that's noted. District councillors, Bruce, start from you and then move around.
Christmas holidays, Chairman, so I have nothing to report.
Maddie, sorry, Cherry, you were hiding there.
I've been pursuing our section 106 and what has happened to it. And Steve and Brenda and Nanny and I, we all know that we've been putting our big scores, shall we say, for Boothican Valley and Brixington to combine to update Brixington Park. We're sort of halfway there with securing money. And I was speaking to the CEO, Mark Williams, still has to come back to me regarding an email he asked me to write, giving him the details about what's been happening, because now it's affecting all of East Devon. Nobody knows how much Section 106 they've got because it's not been available for a while. But it hasn't been put on the back burner. It is still very much alive.
Just to update on that one, meeting here, 10 o'clock, 29th of January.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much, Maddie.
Yes, well, it's quite chaotic over at District as they're getting ready to move out. And because of the elections in May, a member of development I'm putting forward with one of the councillors from Budley and Democratic Services. A training programme for all councillors that are elected to East Devon after May. So we need to do that, obviously, before the election period. So we're a bit busy at the moment.
Super, thank you, John.
Nothing to report, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Brian?
Thank you, Chairman. Just one thing, I'm continuing to, and hopefully getting close to find some extra funding for the community safety projects right across East Devon. I'll know by the end of the month. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Pauline.
Just to say that at Warren View they're going to start digging holes there. They're going to dig some holes to find out in the next 3 weeks.
Sorry.
To find out what's actually below the surface, because they're not really sure whether it wasn't brickworks. But then we think there's rubbish on it, we're not really sure, and so they're going to do it. And then hopefully when the results are done, then Exeter Football Club or the community aspect of it will take over, and hopefully we get a 3G pitch.
It's something don't go too far, otherwise we'll end up with an outdoor swimming pool.
Yeah, very well. Just going to say to Pauline, she was saying my time team, they're the Geo Fields. I it's a bit early in the new year yet, and there's lots of ongoing things, but nothing I can really report about.
Brenda? Steve? Daryl.
Swim didn't do any good, did it,
Councillor? Nothing additional, just to pick up on these two points. I think it's really good news that that's coming up in the Cabinet. They've got potentially 100,000 for Brixington, or we used to call it Langston Park.
It's a joint job.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's a team effort because it's right on the Witherford boundary, but hopefully we'll all be involved and hopefully they can crack on and get, and more importantly, get the community involved when that happens so that they can help the sidewalk goes there. And obviously Warren View, that's been going on for a while. It will be great news once we can find out what's underneath the surface. And then hopefully that will, because there's a point of doing that is to enable Exeter City Trust officers to be sure that they can potentially put on an educational facility, etc., etc., the type of things that they're trying to do. So if that comes off and it's okay, that would be an amazing addition to the town, as long as once again they work with the clubs who are already using it to ensure that the kids have got somewhere to play from Exeter as well.
Thank you. Mark?
Nothing to report, Chair.
Thank you very much. We move on to District Wrong County Councillors. Richard?
Not a great deal. Just in relation to each concern. We will be starting a new partnership committee at the back of this month in terms of how we deal with social care and our carers, the employing them, retaining them, how we reward them and how we train them. It's an important piece of work because at the moment time count on staff the service properly, and that includes in the NHS. And I might add, you mentioned at the start about Councillor Gazzard. You did a great job on Saturday outside Exeter Chiefs, trying to sign more people up, and for you to stand out there in about 60 degrees heat with your hat on and deal with that, all I can do is commend you for it.
Thank you. And I've just got one to report. The seafront will be cleared of sand by the end of the week. It was pointless effort trying to clear it before that because of the winds. Hopefully the majority of the sand will go back in or onto the beach. I've spoken to Street Scene today and they're on target, but they're doing all the work down there with all the workers from Devon County Council Highways. Okay, thank you. Right, move on. Number 7, to note the meeting dates of the council meetings, including committees and working parties for 2019. You've all had a copy. Is anybody any glaring things? Bruce?
Okay, just to say that the rights of way has moved to, I think, 27th of March, because that's a minor, minor change.
We'll update the master and we'll email a new master copy to all councillors. Thank you.
Okay, fine. Right, to receive the independent examiner's report on the Exeter neighbourhood plan and to note the policy modifications as highlighted in the report in order for the plan to meet the basic conditions, and to approve delegated authority to NPSG to submit the modified plan to East Devon District Council. So I'll at this time ask Roy to come up and give a 2-minute brief, please.
Thank you, Chairman. I'll give you 2 minutes. Happy New Year, everybody. I think it's going to be a good New Year for the neighbourhood plan. After 3 years of hard work, very enjoyable work, and lots of supportive work from the community and from the council and from East Devon District Council as well. You've all had a chance, I think, to read the report from the examiner, which we sat with some nervousness about, having seen some others that really have made life very difficult for other neighbourhood planning groups. But this one comes out, I think, very well. Actually, the net effect is that it has strengthened our plan. Points in it are constructive, and I think we've been fortunate with the choice we made of the on selection of independent examiners. Those of you who have been following our newsletters will know that we're into horse racing terminology, that it's been the last lap we've been writing about, and the journal's been picking up for us over the past year or so. And we came to things like now we're in the final lap, and we've got 4 hurdles to get over. We did have a little nightmare that every time we got over Peter's Brook, there was another canal turn around the corner, but that is the nature of the way that this part of the process goes. The examiner's report is in. Tomorrow morning, the steering group will be holding its meeting where, subject to your approval this evening on the delegated authority, we will be then submitting the final reference document to the East End District Council. We've got a couple of weeks to tidy it up. Three of us spent 4 hours today working on it, first working day back, but we did get to it. I have to say that, with vested interest, I suppose, that it's looking a pretty impressive document. It's very readable, lots of very interesting pictures of Alex Smith, but essentially focusing very clearly on what it is that people have said over the last 3 years is how they want Exmouth to develop. So thanks to the council for giving us the opportunity to work in this way for the 3 years. What we're heading for next is the cabinet meeting of the 6th of February, at which, subject to them being content, and we have been working very closely with the East End District Council officers to make sure that, that they're content so far with how it's going. On 6th of February, we hope that the District Council will say, yes, it can now go to a referendum, and we then expect to have a referendum in early March. But at that point, we're in the hands of the electoral services, who have to find the locations for the voting in the referendum to take place, and also to staff it. But we feel we're in good time, going at a good enough pace to actually have it done in early March, which will avoid complications of local elections and goodness knows what is about to happen nationally. Let's not mention the word referendum again there. But there's a lot of work to do between, even though it looks as though we're in the final furlong. There's a newsletter going to come out this month. And we're also preparing a social media campaign, because that's the way to engage with the more difficult to engage with, we understand, and to get interest going in actually voting. What we want is for a significant proportion of the electorate to vote, and obviously what we want beyond then is for them to vote positively. But at this stage, all we can do is to say, this is what it's all about, please come out and vote, because the worst thing would be if we didn't get a good turnout. We're also virtually completed a video which will be seen in various locations, sometimes it's just a short video, with the same sort of messages. People from Exmouth are featured on it saying, this is why I love Exmouth, so I'm going to go and vote. They can't say which way they're voting, but that's the way it's going to be. We're in reasonable shape, thank you, Chairman.
Thank you very much. John?
It's only a question, sorry, Roy, but there's a lot of work into this, and I appreciate the work that you've done. Within the report, it talks about the building in the town and towards its boundaries, and the examiner was concerned that within the report, it doesn't come clear enough that the level of development will be accepted. What level of development would be accepted? And that's not clear within the report.
Darryl?
It's a question.
Roy needs to respond to
it. I was going to get that one and then come back, sorry. It's different. Okay. Right, so the answer there.
So, yes, the revisions that we've made, by consulting with people in light of what the examiner had said, have actually strengthened the report. What we have felt the need to do is to demonstrate quite clearly what people have said to us, that Exmouth cannot really take much more development. It's stretched, not least because of the infrastructure and the kind of things that we were talking about earlier here. We have actually strengthened those sections. There's the statement that will be in the final report, will give detail on developments beyond anything that's been clear, certainly in my being kind of involved in this sort of work for a few years now. I don't think most people in Exmouth appreciate just how much development there is still going on and how much windfall development occurs and what can happen as businesses are turned back to residential and that sort of thing. But basically, there was concern on the part of the examiner that we might not be being as helpful towards the NPPA, it's called National Planning Framework, to do that and to respond to the housing situation, you know, nationally as well as locally. But we feel that the revised version, which will be around from tomorrow onwards, will actually give more clarity than I think has been hitherto.
Sorry, Darrell.
Thank you. Roy, you mentioned the video, obviously, that no doubt we put across social media to encourage people, but is there a plan anywhere in terms of how to drive up voting turnout, as it were? Because it's one of those hopefully good news type things where we do want an extremely high turnout, so people have got some buy-in going forward, and I didn't know whether, I know it's a digital age and all that, but whether we've got, you know, plans for leaflet drops around some of the Richmond or Lidicum areas and those types of things for people that may not be online or may not necessarily be motivated, but it might be if they get a leaflet or something, or even, you know, I didn't know if there's a plan or that we could perhaps help out with that sort of thing.
Well, we have appointed somebody to help us with the social media campaign, and it does pick up that range of points, and there's a very detailed paper which I haven't got time to discuss now, which is being discussed tomorrow morning at the steering group, which lays out the half a dozen different processes to engage. The part of why we're going for social media, recognising that not everybody is folded, is because that's the age group that most neighbourhood planners have found it's difficult to engage with. You know, the younger age group who tend to use the social media more. And we do believe that what we're going to do is to get it as a multiplier effect, and even people who don't go on the internet themselves will be disappointed if they don't bump into people if they have conversations, and within the family, younger members of the family are saying, what's this neighbourhood plan thing? And it will be from there. We're not at the moment planning a paper leaflet drop, partly because of the expense, but it will be well advertised. And the video will be put into locations, which we're agreeing tomorrow, where people will go in and see it. You know, the library, the pavilion, and so on. We'll see it, say, what's that about? And that's the way we're hoping to break through. Any ideas like that, we'll be picking up tomorrow.
Tim?
Yeah, thanks, Jack. Yes, Roy, thank you very much. I'm sure on all our behalf for all that work you've done. Been brilliant, and you know, I hope it gets to a successful result. I just wanted to ask two specific questions on the independent examiner's report we've got here, and to make one general comment, really. It's point 4.8 here, and the two points are there's a reference there to the, and throughout actually, the master plan comes up a number of times. What it doesn't actually say anywhere is the fact that there have been persistent references through the district council that there may be revisions in form or formal to the master plan, and this clearly doesn't pick up on the fact that the master plan may have revisions. And I wonder what you have to say about that. My second question was, it refers to a ward map in that item that you'll be appending. Of course, you'll be well aware that the wards are changing this name. So whether you're going to append two ward maps or just the one from May onwards. And the general comment I wanted to make was, it looked to me very much as though the independent examiner was pushing away from the environmental contributions and towards the what you described as the NPPF agenda of
making planning a lot more free and that sort of thing. And I genuinely wondered how your team reacted to what appeared to me to be the case, and whether you thought that was the case.
Okay. Well, some pretty broad and deep points from that. Take the second one first, it's the simplest one. We have to work on the current situation, so the ward map will be as it is at the moment. That's all we can do, is to describe it. But the great news for everybody is that as soon as the plan's made, there's an expectation that people start to review it, and certainly within 2 or 3 years, we thought it'd be there for about 10 years virtually, but certainly within 2 or 3 years, a group will need to be looking to see what needs to be revised, so that, I think, will take care of that point. As far as the MPPF versus the environment, yeah, that is a tension within a lot of communities, and it's certainly a tension within Exmouth as to, and we're feeling it in various ways, and this is much more your concerns as a planning advisory group than mine, but we're feeling it with the kind of pressures there are for the employment land to be turned over to more residential care homes. So we've been very aware of that point that's been very made to us by the community, that they want to keep the demographic balance that the town has got, thank goodness, still, you know, with a strong community college, a large number of young people, but we mustn't keep on saying yes to having still more retirement homes, and there are plenty, and there are others in the pipeline. Yes, we did feel that, but we did take it that the examiner was taking a very proper and professional stance by saying, you've got to be very careful because MPPF is getting stronger, government is changing, you know, understandably with the national housing crisis, it's changing the policies to try to put pressure on, so make sure that you are defend your point very well. And that's what we've ended up doing. I think you'll see that in the final document. I've missed your
master plan.
Oh, the master plan. Yeah.
Possible revisions there.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we based and I think a lot of the community groups have for the last 10 years or so based a lot of their work and discussions about how they vision Exmouth for the future on the basis of the master plan. Because we both felt it was the best thing that had been provided, certainly in the 30 or 40 years I've been involved, to see something that actually gave a framework and gave a pattern for development that would be pursued. But it's we have got a clearer statement about the status of the master plan in the neighbourhood plan than I've seen recently elsewhere. We've all felt a bit frustrated about where is it going to be, is it going to be revised in light of changing circumstances and so on. But we do feel that we've actually been able to pick up issues from Master Plan. I think anybody who knows that will recognise that as we go through the document that's going to be out very shortly, in the next week or so, that as you go through it, you'll see that the master plan is not lost. What its locus is, vis-a-vis the neighbourhood plan and the local plan, is the future, is a matter for the district council to decide.
Thank you very much. Pauline?
I was only going to say about voting that it doesn't matter how many people vote, we haven't got to have a percentage of like 36,000. It could be just 10 people vote and if 8 of them say yes, then it's through. But if 2 of them, if 8 of them said no, then it's not. Because it just depends on how many, you know, we haven't got to have a percentage of the town to vote. So I was going to try and say.
Lynn?
I really just wanted to support what Darrell said about publication, because in the past it said it's well advertised, but you think it's well advertised, but it isn't, because a lot of people now don't sadly have the Exmouth Journal, and they don't, because a lot of them are relying on it being free, and I mean, personally, I've not had one for weeks and weeks, so I've actually bought it. So I've written in and said, so I mean, you know, you say it's well advertised, but I mean, we have this when we've had other referendums, and you rely on social media and other people talk, but there's an awful lot that are at home. We don't see a newspaper, we don't see social media, because they don't actually involved on the computer, let alone the internet. So my only concern is that there should be some other medium that it goes through, and not just, you know, newspapers and things. So I would agree with Dal that you either need leaflets or you need something, or advertise it somewhere else other than just in, you know, like we've done sometimes before, because you're not going to reach everybody. And then we'll get what we had before, that, you know, I never knew what was happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Local radio?
Well, it could be, but it's...
Right, thank you. Bruce, I'd like you to sum up on this, and then on completion of that, I'd like a proposer and a seconder to propose the delegated authority.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. As your East Devon Lead Neighbourhood Plan member, I would draw your attention to paragraph 5.4, which clearly says from the examiner, I appreciate the hard work which the Neighbourhood Plan Steering Group has put in over the last 3 years to boost the Exmouth Neighbourhood Plan. And I would conclude to you today by saying the Neighbourhood Plan, once adopted, should greatly assist EDDC in its development management role, ensuring that future development in the town achieves the highest planning standard and contributes to Exmouth's aim to be a great place for all, young, old, to live and work and visit. So on that basis, I commend the plan to you all.
Are there a proposer, please? Steve and the seconder, Brian. Thank you. Those in Sorry, again?
I'm in favour.
It's all right, I'm getting there. Those in favour? Those against, if any? Carry, thank you very much. Brian. Thank you very much for that, Roy, and please pass on my thanks to your committee for the hard work that you've done over the last three years. Thank you. We move on to number 9, to ratify the 2019-20 budget and associated preset. So I call upon Cherry.
Now, we've had several meetings, and this year, so nobody should have a complaint, really. They're all welcome to attend. We've ended up with the sheet that's in front of you, offering. Has anybody got anything to say about this as it stands?
Oops. Okay.
I'm going to say something nice.
That makes a change.
I was going to say I applaud our wonderful chairman of finance. So many reasons. But secondly, I think it is declaring interest. I think the process has been really inclusive and actually quite enjoyable. And I think if there aren't any complaints against what's on it, then it proves that people can work together. And also that the budget that's been put in, you know, we've had 10 years of cuts for various reasons, from global financial crisis to government plans, and Exmouth Town Council has stood up, it's put in services where they've been cut, and now it's adding things that people want for their neighbours and community, and I think for that it should be applauded. And it's a town council looking strong, spending local taxpayers' money on things that they really want. So I think it's a really good budget. Well done to everyone who helped create it.
And I got...
Could I just...
Hang on a minute. Sorry.
Alex wanted to...
Did you want to say something, Alex?
Yeah, it's only because I've not been able to attend the meetings. I'm sure it's my understanding. It's just that I just wanted to check why the year-to-date figure was obviously less than half. So I'm presuming that that's some sort of accounting. We've got the year-to-date expenditure figure. It's 393,000 compared to the budget of 875. It shows just where I'm reading it, but I just wanted to.
It's because at the time that the budget figures were compiled, we only had figures up to the end of November that had been entered in. So obviously our financial year runs from April to end of March. So it's just, it's not representative.
Is it worth adding a note to This won't be
there'll be a press release that goes out that will clarify what the precept is, but that's the reason that you're looking at, you know, partial year spend. The other thing to note is that we had budgeted in last year's budget to put a significant amount into reserves at the end of the year, so that will sit on our income and expenditure sheets, and it will only be transferred to our balances at the end of the financial year. So that currently we're looking at probably about £100,000 going into reserves at the end of the year. So that, you know, looks as if it's an underspend, but it was budgeted proactively to go into our reserves at the end of March. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Perfect.
Did you want to come back?
Yes, I wanted to thank Lisa. I wanted to thank Lisa and Julie for the hard work they've helped.
Thank you very much. And this being a cross-party budget for next year, I think it's been really, really good. That's the way this council has worked for the last year, and I'd like to see it continued. Sorry? Oh, it was. Okay, it wasn't on red. It is now. Thank you. So, may I have... obviously, you're going to propose.
Yep.
And I have a seconder to ratify. Steve. All those in favour, please show. Those against, if any. Carry. Before I close the meeting. Okay, you're right. Before I close the meeting, I'd just like to bring to your attention there is a meeting here on Wednesday, 10 o'clock, and it's called Fab. It's called fablink.net. It's regarding abnormal load being transferred from Exmouth to Broadcliffe. If any member wishes to come, please let Town Clerk know before Wednesday so we can square away the right size of room.
I think it will be in here because there's quite a few people that have registered willing to attend.
Shall I just ask a question? Is this involving Thunderbirds?
Probably.
Sorry, Dave will appreciate that.
Probably.
I was going to check.
Right, so the next meeting is Monday, the 4th of February. Thank you very much for your time. The meeting is now closed.